With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline right now, and we bring in Charlie Casserly. He's been on the show before. He's a friend of the show, obviously, former general manager in the NFL in Washington and Houston, and we see him on TV all the time on the NFL Network. Charlie, how are you doing?
Great. Guys, how you doing today?
We're hanging in.
What do you mean you're hanging in?
We're hanging in. I'm sitting in a basement. My good friend Jeff is sitting a couple counties away from me here in Northeast Ohio. He's in a sewing room. And we're all just remoting in, keeping our distance from each other, but still enjoying talking about the things that everybody likes to talk about to get our mind off of what's going on. And I'm sure that, you know, that's been your world for your entire life, so I'm sure you enjoyed, like, even your mock draft that's out right now. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, Adam, we have an article out, too, that came out this week about talking about how you conduct a draft. How do you prepare for a draft in these circumstances? And I came into the league, believe it or not, we didn't have a combine. We didn't have pro days. We drafted players without physicals. How about that one? So
I love it.
The dark ages. And how do you operate in the dark ages? What lessons do you learn there that you can carry over to now? So that was this week's article there.
So Charlie, and,
yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I bet you don't have a whole lot of sympathy for general managers that are complaining that the draft is coming. I know Jeff and I have talked about this, and, I mean, we're excited the draft is on. Yes, there's real-world problems out there, but a diversion every once in a while is not bad, and I just – I have a lot of – like, I'm glad the commissioner put his foot down. I really am.
Well, here's the thing. You can draft. What's happened is I'm not advocating we go back to that era, okay, where you didn't – do physicals and, you know, you couldn't interview most of the players sometimes and you didn't have senior pro days. All that stuff's good. More information is better. But what I talked about was, you know, what's this going to come down to is a couple things. One, teams with extra picks are going to have an advantage because they'll have more opportunities to get it right and more margin for error if they get something wrong. But it comes down to your scouts. You're going to have – if you've got good area scouts, and area scout is defined as this, somebody who's going to cover an area. Let's say he covers Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin. Now, that's an area, all right? And he follows these players for their whole career. So he has great sources on character, great sources on the medical information, and so he has a real good feel for them. So what happens is a lot of organizations have evolved into basing their scouting draft boards on what they get done in the spring. Well, you don't have a spring now. So it goes back to those area scouts, you know, tell me about the character, okay, and you're relying upon that guy. And that's how it worked in our day. We didn't have a film library. We were lucky to get a couple of game tapes to look at in the office. Otherwise, it was all people on the road that you relied upon. So that, to me, is the key there. The medicals, I'll just say this on the medicals. I never went against them. However, sometimes they may say, Curtis Martin, we shouldn't draft. Well, Curtis Martin's in the Hall of Fame. These are good doctors. Good doctors can see the same report and have two different views on it. So what I'm saying is they're not foolproof on the medicals, even if you have them.
Charlie Casserly joining us, former GM of the Redskins, the Houston Texans, now with the NFL Network and NFL.com. Charlie, how far along are teams in this process when everything was kind of shut down? If they're looking at a, like, 100% we're ready to go for the draft, where do you think this thing got tailed off, and now how can they make that up?
Well, it depends on the team. In preparation for this article, I talked to five general managers and two college scouting directors, okay? And I had a number of them said, hey, we're ready to go right now. We'll draft tomorrow. And those are the guys that rely upon their scouts to set it up. Now, they're not totally in the dark here. They got about 280 physicals. They should have had 330 interviews at the combine. That's a lot of work. The All-Star games already are, they probably got another 100 interviews there done, mostly by scouts, not by the coaches or the head coach or the general manager. Again, it gets back. If you have competent scouts, they're like gold in this situation. So, to me, I'm just going to go by what some of those teams told me. They could have drafted right then when I interviewed them last week.
Nice.
Charlie, when you look at this draft, and the Browns definitely need a left tackle, and I mean, you've got the Browns taking a left tackle in your latest mock draft, how good is this offensive line class? Because I mean, every mock you look at, there's probably four guys that are going in the top 12.
I like the top four guys, okay, to put it. Mika Becton is my number one pick. I had him going to the Giants. Then I come along with not necessarily in this order, but you got Andrew Thomas, who I have as my third one, going to the Browns, because I've seen him play left tackle. Jedrick Willis, who played right tackle primarily Alabama, and that's the tape I watched. I have him going to the Jets. And Tristan Wirfs, who played right tackle for Iowa, I have him going to the Bucs. They need a right tackle. The Jets need a right tackle. Cleveland needs a left tackle. The Giants, they need both, okay? So, but... Becton played left. I like all four of those guys. It's rare you have four guys that are rated in the top 15. After that, it kind of tails off some. Austin Jackson is my next tackle. I have him going to Miami in the 20s. And then it tails off for another set with some guys in the second round. But those top four, I think, are all pretty good, really good prospects.
Charlie, would you be concerned about drafting Wills or Wirfs if you were the Browns, knowing that they played a lot of right tackle and you would want them to play left?
You know, I don't know this from myself looking at it, but I was told that Wills has played some left tackle. So if I could find that tape, that would help me. Now, Tyron Smith from the Dallas Cowboys, I always get his first name wrong, I apologize, but I pronounce it wrong. He was a right tackle in college, but he looked like he could play left tackle when they worked him out in the spring, which we don't have. He looked good in the left tackle. The drills at the combine, they changed them some, and I don't think you got a good enough vision of what a guy could be at left tackle and right tackle from them. So it's a little bit of a guess, but again, if I've got an area scout who knows this, who's seen him play left tackle and he feels he can do it, then if I have enough confidence in that scout, I'm going to do it. But it's not, you know, it's not as clear as it would be in other years. As far as Wirfs, I'd be a little concerned about him as a right, as a left tackle.
Charlie, what are your thoughts on Trent Williams and where he's going to land? I mean, obviously there's been a lot of talk here in Cleveland that it might be worth it for the Browns to try to bring him in and bring him in at left tackle, and that way you kind of, you've got veterans there. And although we haven't seen him play in a year, and I go back and forth on this, where I think he'd be a good addition some days, and then there are other days where I'm like, I don't know if this is worth it. You tell me, where do you think Trent Williams is going to end up next year, and is he a good fit for the Browns, and should they try to go after it still?
I honestly don't know where he's going to go next year. I think that if you can get him, and right now the price just doesn't seem to be a one. It may not even be a two anymore. If you can get this guy for anything less than a two, then you do it if you can live with the contract. Now, there seems to be some variances on what the contract, what he was offering, or what the agent was looking for. The agent is denied, at least here in Washington, in the press, that he was looking for a top-dollar contract, meaning top of the market. I've gotten it from teams that's not what he's told them. So if you can live with the money part of it, you're going to have to live with some missed time. But when he plays, he's as good as there is. And I don't think he's too old to be able to go out there and show what he can do. Would I roll the dice on him if I could live with the money? Yeah. I don't like about that.
Okay. Do you think there's a point where Washington will just say forget it and release him rather than having to give up a draft pick?
No, I don't know if they'll go that way. They can take this guy a long time before they get fed up with him and want to release him now. So I would not do it. Okay, I would not do it. This guy is wrong. He violated his contract. When the Redskins, he claimed it was a medical issue, not a money issue. When the Redskins went to arbitration and said, all right, here's our medical records. We'll put ourselves at risk to be penalized and fined. He wouldn't do it. So, I mean, those are just facts I'm dealing with.
Charlie Casserly is joining us, former GM of the Redskins and the Texans with the NFL Network, NFL.com. Charlie, you have Joe Burrow, as a lot of folks do, going number one to the Cincinnati Bengals. And every time I look at Joe, I think what a great story, you know, going from Ohio State where he couldn't get on the field to LSU where he was okay his junior year, and then senior year puts up a season like we've never seen before. Is there risk in him that he just had that one season that was incredible? My mind keeps going to Akili Smith and even Mitch Trubisky, and I don't think those are fair comparisons. Are they? And would you be concerned that he just had that one knockout year?
I think I agree with everything you said. I don't think they're fair comparisons, okay? But they're legitimate questions. So is Cam Newton. He was a one-year quarterback, okay? And the record of one-year starters is not very good. When I saw a stat on it when Trubisky was drafted, it was not very good. Their career record. See, the guy really played great. And now he had a lot of really good players. You watch the tape. Now he has to run out of the pocket some, but he gets pretty good protection, has a lot of playmakers around him. The DNA seems to be great on him as far as the leadership goes, the intelligence, the work habits, and that. Is he an elite guy? No, he's not an elite guy. He's the best guy there this year? Yes. Would I take him over Tua? Yes. If I'm Cincinnati, I take them. And all you can do is take what's there. So whether he's good, whether you're concerned about the 1 year or not, I would take him. Do you take Chase Young, who's probably – who is a better prospect? I think you'll take – I'd take the quarterback and take my chances that I'm right as opposed to be wrong. I feel real good about Chase Young being a longtime star in the NFL.
Charlie, how do you think
if you're the Browns here, Charlie, you try and get creative. We threw this out earlier in the week, you know, because we've all thought, all right, they're going to sit there at 10 and take a tackle. And if by chance the top four tackles who you mentioned are gone, all right, maybe they trade down. Is there any way Andrew Berry would try and trade up? And we had Chase Young in mind, and we had Trent Williams in mind, with some kind of a super deal with Washington to pick up the left tackle and not have to take one at 10 and get Chase Young in the as the key to the whole thing. Would you think they could be that bold in a situation like this, or do you not expect anything like that?
Well, there's no record here on Andrew Berry. I like Andrew Berry. I think he did a great job in free agency, and I think he'll do a terrific job with the Browns. There's no history on Andrew Berry to say yes or no on that. You have to go by history now. He worked in Philadelphia with Howie Roseman. Howie Roseman was a gambler. Howie Roseman traded up to get picks. So would he trade up to get a left tackle? His concern has to be the Chargers. I gave Chargers Herbert, but they could take a left tackle there. If they take a left tackle, that eats up one of them and two. So now there's only two left, and they got the Jets behind them. Jets may be aggressive and go get one. All of a sudden, they're sitting there and don't have the left tackle. So they may be aggressive to go get one. Just to make sure they have one. I don't see them getting to Washington. I don't know why Washington would go back to 10. You'd have to have, to me, to even think about it. If I'm Washington, I got to have their one from next year and the one this year. If I even thought about it, if I have anything less than a one next year and a one this year, there's no discussion. So, and I don't think Cleveland would do that. And again, I don't know.
Charlie. Last question for you, too. And just kind of playing off of what you just said about Andrew Berry, you bring in Jack Coughlin, you bring in Austin Hooper, Andrew Billings, Carl Joseph, Andrews is Zendejo. You know, Jeff and I sit here, and a lot of years we've sat here and go, what are the Browns thinking? Why are they not in on this guy? Why does it – for the first time in a long time, it feels like adults – I don't want to say adults in the room, but it does feel like the moves that Andrews made for the Browns have been rock solid, nothing off, nothing super splashy. Maybe Jack Coughlin, maybe paying Austin Hooper what he's paying. But everything seems to have a rhyme or reason to what he's doing. And there's a level of confidence that I think Andrews built here in Cleveland. Do you see it that way too?
Exactly. I have an article coming out next week where I talk about best draft picks by teams and best value picks. And of course, Cleveland and the Jets haven't had any picks with the new general manager. But I kind of talk about what I've seen so far. And that's the thing that struck me, is it looked like him and Kevin Stefanski were right in step with each other, making good, solid picks. Yes, they paid a lot of money for Conklin and Hooper. It was the market. It's what they had to pay. And sometimes that's all you have to do. This is the market. We want them. We got to pay it. That's it. Pay it. So they got those needs filled. They paid what they had to pay. They didn't back down. It was like the two of them were in step, logical, everything you said. I agree with 100%. I said it when they did it. And I think that's why they get an A in free agency.
Outstanding. Charlie, thank you. We appreciate your time. Be nice
as
to Andrew
always.
Siciliano for us. He's a super friend of our show, so just be nice
to
him.
Oh, that's awfully hard to do on that one, I know. Andrew's a great guy. All right, man. Good luck to you now.
All right. Thank you very
Charlie,
much, Charlie
Casserly.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.